Okay. Thanks, teenagers. Starting to clap for me. I'm not sure what that's about. Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Just like Deborah said, my name is Clayton, and I'm the lead pastor here at Central. And I'm so glad that you are all here with us as we are in week number two of our series called Character Under Construction. And we've been talking about the difference between your character and your morality. And morality is what you believe to be right and wrong. And when your morality is challenged or when it is put under great amount of pressure, your character comes forth. And sometimes that is a great thing, and sometimes it's an awful and terrible thing, because we live in this world that is full of evil, and it's a sinful world that is constantly wanting. Its desire is for us to be dragged down, to crumble our life, and where our life just sinks down, and we're not useful by the Lord anymore. And I tell you that, and I kind of start off by saying that, because we are in a just here in a little bit, we are beginning construction, like Deborah was saying, and this place is going to be vacated for a while. We're going to have to move to another area of our church. It's going to be crazy, but it's going to be, I think it's going to be awesome for us, and this place is going to be completely transformed. The walls are going to be gone. The carpet's going to be gone. Even a lot of you guys kind of in the back sections over here, where you're sitting right now is going to be completely torn up. We're going to have heavy machinery in here digging up the concrete, but also digging down into the dirt. There'll be piles of dirt everywhere because we're putting some risers, risers in the background here for people to sit in the back. And I was looking at the plans when they were talking about how they were going to do this, and I was like, man, there's concrete already right there. Why can't we just put the risers on top of the concrete? And someone who's way smarter than me had to remind me that, hey, you can't just do it that way. There has to be a really, really strong foundation for something that heavy. And so they're going to be digging these pillars and these footers down, way down into the ground. And the reason I tell you that is because it's kind of like our lives. We need to think about what is the foundation of our character. Now, concrete is going to be kind of our theme for today. I don't know if you know this about concrete, but it is kind of the foundation to our modern society. You may think that it is technology, but concrete is actually the thing. It's the second most used product in the entire world. It is everywhere. You drive on it. Your house is built upon it. Everywhere you go, you are affected by, and you have the luxury of having concrete in your life. And without it, buildings would fall and they would sink into the ground. And your character needs that same kind of foundation. So this is what we're going to be talking about today. Your character needs a strong foundation. And the first thing we need to look at today is this, that the foundation of your character begins between your ears. The things that are going on in your mind is actually the foundation of your character. Think about this. You can't just pretend to have good character. The things that you do, the things that you say, eventually what's going on between your ears will come to the light. The foundation of your character begins right up here. If I were to know your thoughts, okay, it's kind of scary, okay, if you know my thoughts, and we put those thoughts up here on the screen and just began to scroll them over the last, let's just say, the last 24 hours, would you be proud? Would you be like, hey, those are mine? Or would you just kind of like slowly leave the room, you know? Would we have to kind of blur out some of the thoughts, okay, because they were just terrible, awful, sinful thoughts? I mean, the truth is that none of us are probably very happy with having our thoughts exposed for everybody to see. But our thoughts are so important. Your mind is so powerful. It's so powerful because everything that you do and everything that you believe eventually started with a thought. Think about that. Sometimes you have you do good things and you believe good things, and those all come from eventually, or at the beginning, a good thought. So, you know, you're wanting to help someone cross the road, okay? It doesn't just happen. You think, hey, I want to do this, and you see someone, and you go and you actually help them, and you provide for them, or you do something kind for someone. But also, on the flip side, is everything that we do that is evil, evil and sinful in our lives begins with a thought that's like, that's what I want to do. It's this battle that's going on. And so our lives, our minds are full of lustful thoughts. They're full of prideful thoughts, full of anger and jealousy, and we have bitterness in our hearts, and we have hatred towards people. And then when someone has something that we want, we are very resentful and we want what they have, and we don't think it is fair. All those things begin right up here. It's so important that we need to stop and talk about it. We're talking about our character, not only in secret, but also in the light for everyone to see. It all begins right up here. And the Bible describes your mind as being at war, okay? In fact, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 7, and we're going to look at a couple of verses here that Paul, in a brilliant way, describes you and me, okay? I can relate so much to Paul. He doesn't say, man, I've got everything figured out, and I saw the risen Jesus, and my life is perfect. No, he says, look, I am terrible just like you are, okay? And so here's what he says. He says, look, the trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, or I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Can anybody, like, relate to that? Is that your life? I mean, even just this morning, you do things that you don't want to do. You say something to your spouse, right? I mean, that you don't mean to say. It just happens, okay? He goes on and says, and I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't do it, okay? I want to do what is good, but I don't do it. I don't want to do what is wrong, but you know what? I do it anyway. Man, he's describing all of us. And he goes on in verse 23 and says one other thing. He says, look, he says, there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. And this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. You know what Paul just explained? He just explained everyone's thought life. He says, hey, it's a war that is raging up in between our ears. And Satan wants to control that, okay? He wants to have a part of that. He wants to control your mind. He wants to drop sin into that and hope that something will stick and your life will be compromised and be changed and you won't follow God anymore, or your character will be so awful that anyone who knows that you're a believer in Jesus but looks at your character, they'll think everything is stupid and silly, and why should I even follow Jesus? Satan wants to do that in your life. But here's something we all need to realize about Satan, because we got some false views about Satan here in our culture. Look, Satan isn't everywhere, all right? Only God is everywhere. He's the only one that can be in all places at all times. Satan cannot. He can only be in one place at a time. And so if he is in your mind, he can't be in my mind. He can't be in everybody's mind. But he has forces that want to manipulate and control you. In fact, those forces are incredibly powerful, and there's many of them. The Bible says that when Satan fell as an angel, he fell from heaven, that he took a third of the angels with him. We don't know how many that is, but that's a whole lot of angels, okay? We know them today as demonic forces, okay? Demons that are in this world, and they know us really well. For thousands and thousands of years, they've been fine-tuning the art of deception. They know our weaknesses. They know how to exploit our lives. Sun Tzu, who was about 2,500 years ago, was a Chinese general, and he wrote The Art of War. And here's what he says about war. He says that all warfare is based on deception, okay? Whether that's between one country and another country, or it's between Satan and sin in our lives and us, that it's all about deception. And all the ways that Satan and demonic forces could deceive us, they have chosen our minds. And the question is, why? Why is this so important? It's because of this, that whatever has your thoughts has you. Whatever controls your thoughts controls your life. But here's the good news. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, John says, he says, look, he who is in you, meaning God, who is in you, in your life, is greater than he who is in the world. Okay? There is good news here. Look, Satan doesn't own your thoughts. He doesn't own your thoughts. He can influence them. He can try to manipulate your thoughts, but he doesn't own your thoughts. You know who owns your thoughts? You do, okay? You own your own thoughts. And if that was not true, the Bible wouldn't talk so many times about how you have control over your thoughts and what you should do with your thoughts. You own your own thoughts. And there's even something even greater that we can do is we can actually turn our thoughts over to God. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says this. Look, so letting your sinful nature control your mind, it leads to death. The world would say that leads to life, but that's backwards and messed up. It actually leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind, that's what actually leads to life and peace. So the question is, how do you control your mind? If you own your own thoughts, how do you actually control your mind? How do you win that war? What you got to do is you got to think of your mind like a foundation made of concrete, okay? Think of your mind as a foundation made of concrete. There's a proven formula for concrete that creates a lot of strength. In fact, I got a picture of it right here. This is the proven formula. It's not rocket science, okay? When you're thinking about concrete, you have cement right here. You have sand. You have rocks or aggregate, and you actually have water. And those things all by themselves, they're not good for any type of foundation. You wouldn't want to build a foundation on any one of these things. But when you combine them, there's a proven formula for an incredible amount of strength. And the same thing goes with our character. There is actually a proven formula for a solid foundation of character. And the Bible talks about it in 2 Corinthians. And so I want us to go there to look at this proven formula for this idea of character, a foundation of your character. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians 10. It says, look, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power. Okay, so we're going to be talking about warfare here, but we're not talking about physical warfare. We're talking about spiritual and mental warfare, the things that are going on in our spirits and in our minds, okay? And he says this, we have these weapons that have divine power to destroy strongholds, and we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. This is idea of a battle going on, this battle language that you and I are under attack. And it says, here's how to win that war. It says, here's what you have to do. You have to destroy those things that are false and fake. You got to destroy those strongholds. You got to destroy those arguments, those lofty opinions. What in the world does that mean? Well, think about this. Does anybody like conspiracy theories? Any conspiracy theory nuts, okay? We got some believers in the back, okay? We got some conspiracy theory people up here. So, I'll just scroll through X or Twitter any time of the day. And it's like this constant battle of trying to figure out what is true and what is a conspiracy theory. Like in our culture, conspiracy theories are rampant. They take just a tiny bit of truth or some knowledge or something that's out there, and people will run with it. And the reality is sometimes conspiracy theories actually turn out to be true, which is kind of scary. But a lot of times they're just crazy things. They are lofty opinions, okay? And so you've got some, anybody flat earthers in the room? No? No one would, no, you're not. Noah in first service, our student pastor, he's like, yep, that's me, flat earther, okay? He just needs to get out more. So we'll talk later about that. But look, some like moon landing, you know, conspiracy theories, or who shot JFK and all that kind of stuff. People have conspiracy theories like crazy. And in the political world right now, I mean, they're all over the place. Every day there's probably 10 or 20 national conspiracy theories that happen. So I want you to think about this. In your life, what's going on up in your mind? How do you know what is in your mind is true or not? The things that you think, that the beliefs that you have, do you know if they're true or not? Or are they kind of like a conspiracy theory? I want you to think about this. A lot of us have past trauma. It's awful and terrible. Things that we didn't do to ourselves, but someone did to us. And what it's done is that has changed how we view the world. It's changed how we view ourselves and our value, but also changes our view of God. I mean, God, if you really truly love me, you wouldn't allow those things to happen to me. And so you're not really the way that the Bible says you are to me because of what's happened to me. It has changed our belief. Here's another maybe conspiracy theory or a false belief that a lot of us have. Can anybody relate to me with this? This phrase, I'm always right. Anybody? You guys got some nudges going on with your spouse, right? I struggle with that. Like, I trust myself more than anything else, you know? I'm always right. What that does is it turns you into a jerk, okay? And the truth is, you're not always right. But a lot of us believe that, hey, our opinion is the best opinion, and I'm always right. How about this for parents in the room? That nothing is secure in my life without my control. Can anybody relate to that? We have a college student off of college, and he's in week 3 or 4, right, Holly? And it's just like every day, it's just like, is he okay? We're just worried. You know, you're worried about him because deep down inside, I want to be in control. And if I am not in control, if I can't, you know, take care of everything in my life, then I feel like it's going to fall apart because when it comes to it, I only trust myself, really. And what that is a lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, because the truth is God can control it, okay? God can handle what's going on in your kids' lives. But as parents, we're like, man, I got to be in control. We had this idea, and it will control our own lives and the decisions that we make because of what we believe. Look, we have false thoughts about all sorts of things, about when we were younger, a coach or a parent said something about you. They labeled you a certain way. And you're 47 years old today, and you know what? You're still affected by that. And in your mind, you see yourself differently. You see yourself as not good enough because of what someone said about you a long time ago. It's not just something that's in your mind completely different than the rest of your life. It controls your life. Some of us have this view of marriage that my marriage is not good enough compared to other people, and the grass is greener, okay? If I would just go somewhere else or in this one, that it's going to be better over there. That is a false view. That is a terrible, awful, lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God that we have, that if I just get out of that, it's going to be better. The truth is, God wants you to water where you're at, okay? It'll be green if you'll water it, if you'll invest in your own relationship. Some of us have this view of sin that if it's just private and no one knows about it, it's not going to affect anybody else, then it's okay. And, you know, God forgives me and God is love and he's all forgiving God, and so I can do whatever I want. That is a lofty opinion, okay? That is a false argument we have against who God actually is. We have these things going on in our minds. So what are we supposed to do with them? We're supposed to destroy them. Or you could say this, we're supposed to dig them up, okay? We're supposed to dig up and destroy what's false. Think of it like a foundation that is not going well, that the ground has shifted and things are falling apart in some ways. All of us have experienced that. And you don't really see it in the concrete. Where do you see it? You see it in the wall, right? And all of a sudden, there's a crack that begins to form, and it goes up over your ceiling, or you're going to purchase a new home, and you're looking for the cracks, right? Here at our church, down our office hallway, we have this crack that has formed, okay, along the wall. And it's gotten larger and larger, and we've tried to, you know, cover it up and paint over it. And someone took a sticky note and put on there, "Stop staring at my crack." That's what it says, okay? It's been up there for like 2 years, and I think everybody's scared to take it down. So, because I don't know why. So it's just up there. And every time I walk by it, I mean, it's a great example of there's something going on, not with the wall, but with the foundation. There's something going on with the foundation. It's a weak foundation. And when we have those thoughts, those awful, terrible, evil, fake, false opinions, that's a very weak foundation for your character. We're supposed to dig those things up and get rid of them. But it goes on and says in that same passage in Romans, it says we're supposed to take every thought captive to obey Christ. So it's not just enough to destroy those things. And then we got to take our thoughts, our thought life, and let it be held captive by Jesus.
Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so what he is saying, what the Bible is saying, that there is that proven formula for character. And what it is, another way we could think about it is this, to think about that truth. We should stir our minds with truth. Not only do we need to get rid of those other things, those awful, evil, sinful things, but we need to stir our minds with truth. Everybody knows what you have to do with concrete. You can't just take those ingredients and just let them sit there. What do you have to do to them? You got to stir them together. Whether that's a concrete truck going down the road and it's spinning, what is it doing? It's stirring those ingredients and mixing those things up. Or if you've done any concrete work at your house and you got a wheelbarrow and you're mixing it with a shovel, you have to stir up that concrete so that it actually does what it's supposed to do. We have to stir up our minds with truth. That's what it means by letting every thought be held captive by the Lord. We got to mix our minds with what is true. Where do we find truth? It's simple, guys. God's word, right? We find truth in God's word. And we find, in fact, in God's word, the elements, the things that we actually should be thinking about. In Philippians chapter 4, here's what the Bible says about the things that we should have in our lives. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on this, okay? Hey, we talk about the negative things that are going on in our mind. Instead, we need to stir our minds with truth. And these are the things that are true. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. This is what should be invading our minds. We have to take out that negative stuff. We have to go to great lengths. It takes a lot of energy and patience and practice and focus to fix our minds on the things that God wants us to focus on. Now, up to this point, we've been kind of just talking about, this is up to you, right? You can do this. You can win here. But it kind of makes me think about that belief, the power of positive thinking, okay? Where if you just try hard enough and be good enough, then everything is going to be okay. That's garbage, okay? That's garbage. Because we all know this about ourselves. Even with all the self-help books that are out there and on Amazon, there's hundreds of thousands of probably self-help books. We are still experts at self-defeating behavior, aren't we? We know what we should do, but that doesn't mean we do it. We still do what we shouldn't do. I want you to think about this. Even if you have all the ingredients of having a strong character, and you mix them well, and you try really hard to have those good thoughts, and you try to get rid of the negative thoughts that are going on in your mind, here's what's going to happen. When your character is under pressure, if that's all you have is trying hard, you will crumble. In fact, a great way of illustrating this is this video of concrete, okay? So concrete, all those ingredients, it's under this vise, and it's about to be put under some extreme pressure. And look what concrete actually does when it's under pressure like this. It just crumbles, and it kind of falls apart. What it needs is, it needs rebar, right? Everybody knows what rebar is. I mean, rebar is in all of our lives, whether you realize it or not. It is everywhere. What it's doing is it's reinforcing this concrete so that it can remain strong, which takes us to the final aspect of having this strong foundation of character, and it's this. We need to reinforce our thoughts with the Redeemer, okay? It's not just enough to try harder and to believe enough. You have to reinforce your thoughts with Jesus himself. He has to be in your life. The reason I use the word Redeemer here, because that's who Jesus is. Jesus came to pay for your sins. He redeemed you, he paid for, he bought you with a price by getting up on the cross and dying for your sins. He is the Redeemer, and he has to be in our lives. In fact, it's the final part of the formula, this proven formula. And here's another video of the same block, but actually this block has rebar in it. Now, it's still going to kind of fall apart. It's not the best example, but under multiple times the pressure, when it has rebar in it, it remains strong, much stronger than if rebar was not a part of that concrete. And it just shows us that concrete, it needs reinforcement. It's not good enough on its own. And the same thing for us, for our minds, we need that reinforcement. And this isn't just an idea, a silly idea about concrete. This is actually what God's word actually says. If we go back to Romans chapter 7, the last two verses for today, this little passage where Paul is saying, I want you to do what's right, but I'm an awful person. I continue to do what's wrong. Here's what he says. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Who's going to help me? Because I realize I can't do it on my own. I'm like concrete without any type of reinforcement. And he says this, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's not only the redeemer of your life, but he's also the redeemer of your mind. And without Jesus, there is no victory over sinful thoughts and temptations that you have. And without Jesus, your character will end up crumbling. So here's what we have to do. We have to make sure that Jesus is in our lives. Is Jesus in your life? That's the first thing you have to do. If you want to have good character, if you want to be known as a person like that, it's not enough to just try harder and be good enough on your own. You will crumble when you're under pressure. Jesus has to be a part of your life. He's got to be the Lord of your life. That's the first thing we got to do. You know, you also have to stop believing what is fake. What are the things that are in your mind that you're continually letting dictate your behavior? Maybe it's false views about yourself, false views about God and his love for you. What are those things that you continually let be a part of your life? We got to get rid of those things. And instead, we got to put God's word in our minds. So as you conclude, let me conclude this way. You got to ask yourself, who is the Lord of my mind? Who is the Lord of your mind? This is so important because just like we said earlier, whoever has your thoughts has you, has control over you. And your character will follow who has control of your thoughts. Think about that. I'm gonna finish right here because we're gonna continue to build that house next week, this house of our character. And we're actually gonna talk about the company you keep, okay? And how important it is when it comes to the formation of a godly character. So I'm gonna invite you to do something. Would you stand with me? We're gonna have a time to respond to the Lord. Maybe you've never had Jesus in your life and you wanna do that. Man, the gift of salvation is free. You just have to accept it. And we want to help you do that if you've never done that. And you're saying, you know what, I'm tired of doing this on my own. Our connection room is going to be open right over here. We have a great team over there that would love to spend some time with you in private and pray with you. Maybe you just need some prayer about something going on in your life. You say, I'm a believer in Jesus, but man, I'm not living the way I should be, and I need help. We'd love to pray with you and come alongside you. But maybe you want to just stay where you're at right here. I'm going to pray for you, and then Rylan is going to lead us in a song, and this is an opportunity for us to think about what's going on in between our ears and asking the Lord to take control. Let's repent of those things and give him what he's due, where he should belong, have controlling of our thoughts. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word today, and I just want to confess on behalf of every single one of us in this room that we are awful. Our thought life is awful. It's a war that is constant, whether we are 10 years old or 90 years old. It's never ending. We need you, Jesus. We're desperate for you. Lord, give us the strength to kick out the negative stuff, the awful stuff, the lofty opinions that we have. We think we are right and we are wrong, and where we have let sin and evil invade our mind. Help us, God, to get rid of that stuff. But also, Lord, I pray that your word would come alive in our hearts, in our minds. That we would meditate on scripture and let it fill that empty void. We would think about the things that are true. But God, most of all, I pray for anyone that does not have Jesus in their life. I pray, God, that today might be the day of salvation, that they would trust in you to be their redeemer. Lord Jesus, we need you. We utterly need you. I pray, Lord, today, this week, as we go about our business and our busy lives, that when we have those thoughts, those sinful thoughts, those evil thoughts, those false things that are going on in between our ears, Lord, that we would be reminded of today and what your truth is and what you've called us to do. Encourage us, forgive us, but God, help us. Help us to build that foundation of strong character so when we are under pressure, that people would see Jesus in us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Central, we're so glad that you joined us today for Central Online. It's been a great time of worshiping our Savior together as a Central family. Maybe today God has been speaking to you about trusting Him with your whole life and even taking that first step in following Him. Well, we'd love to get to connect with you. You can text the word FORGIVEN to 94,000, and that will get you in touch with our ministry team. And if you just need prayer about something specific, we'd love to be able to come alongside you and pray. So just send an email to prayer@cbcowasso.org. Well, if this message has spoken to you today, why not take a second and share this with a friend or family member that might need to hear it? It's an exciting time to be part of Central as we do our best to live for Christ, to love people, and to make disciples. We'll see you next week.